RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So to the government's revised school lunch plan. I will make a personal declaration. I'm a fan of school lunches, just saying. In case you haven't caught up on the news, David Seymour launched this last week. And the new dishes include butter chicken curry, chicken katsu lasagna, and cold chicken pasta salad and wraps, all at a cost of $3 per head. And I think the deal involves the Compass Catering people. And a lot's been said about school lunches. But let's hear it from, well, not the cliff face, the school face, from Tute Mila, who is the principal of Arakura School in Wainuiomata, great part of the country in Lower Hutt. Tute, thanks for coming on RCR to talk about the school lunches.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so that that lineup, that menu, what's on the menu, doesn't do much for you?
No, the menu is certainly great. You know,
okay, so no trouble with the menu?
No trouble with the menu. I mean, we offer a lot of that ourselves, so
right.
No problem with the menu.
Okay, so what's the issue with effectively deploying reliable, healthy school lunches that kids want to eat and support their nutrition and learning?
I don't have a problem with that. I guess I want to see how this is delivered out. I am a little bit worried that can actually be delivered with all the special dietary requirements at that cost. My other concern is for the schools like mine that run the program ourselves.
Okay, how do you do that? How does that work, Tute? How do you do it?
So I employ our own kitchen team. So I've got a qualified chef who's the kitchen manager as well. And I also have an assistant for her, and they're both parents of our community. So we're providing employment for our own school community. And so they make the lunches every day, you know, 155 lunches every single day for our tamariki. And they also source, you know, the best ingredients to provide healthy lunches. The difference in being an internal model school is that we can actually go further than just providing the food. So we have it as part of our curriculum. We make all kinds of connections to our curriculum. So our children are learning about healthy eating. They're learning how to grow food. They're learning about the health of our soil. They're learning about the climate, about weather systems in relation to how it supports growth, you know, in our garden. And our kids are actively involved in that, as well as our senior children helping to prepare the lunches every Friday as part of our garden to table program. So we take a very much a holistic view in terms of, you know, our children's learning and the science and technology, maths, etc., and the context of the lunches program and garden to table is a big part of that.
I think you just sold me right there and then.
Well, it's the best model, I tell you. I'd never look back, and I wish that, you know, somebody had, you know, I wish that this was on offer right from the beginning, that there was more said about it, because it took us a couple of years to switch to the internal model. And that was, you know, because we just couldn't make it work for our school using an external provider. But other schools have, you know, so it's not to say there's only one way. But you
can't leverage all the learning, though. You can't leverage the learning from just something turning up in a catering truck.
No, you can't. And you see, one of our the things that we started looking at was how we can use more local growers, you know, for our produce, so that we could take our kids down there to visit and see what happens. See what happens there, so they can really learn about the journey of food, comparing what they can grow locally to what they can buy in the supermarket. And so you can tie in all areas of the curriculum into a context like that, right? So we have really gone, because we've got such a great team at Arakura School, we've been able to go well beyond just providing food for the pukus, and have been able to do so with the support of many of our community groups and local agencies. So when I talk about the lunches program with the internal model being a community effort and a community approach, that's what I'm talking about. And that's the stuff that's at risk with the funding cut.
Okay, so if you have this other non-internal catering model imposed, that means that you'll have, well, basically the internal catering goes, does it?
Well, it's not going to be easy to maintain it. So talking to my principal colleagues who are going to be affected from January next year, what they're saying is they're not going to be able to sustain an internal model because they won't be able to afford to keep paying for their kitchen staff. And this is the problem. And this is what's at risk. And it does feel like, you know, the grand plan is to move everybody back to an external model where the big companies provide for all of us. It really worries me because $4 per child, as opposed to the $6.50 that I currently get, is going to make it really difficult for us to sustain it with keeping all of our staff.
How much does it? Okay, well, you've given us the comparison. I don't need to go into more numbers than that or ask you about that. Okay, in terms of nutrition, well, of our population, but very important with children, right? Because there are health challenges in Western societies right now. We know what they are. Understanding of nutrition and how to feed yourself properly for good health over a long term is becoming very important now. And it sounds like that's sort of woven into what you do. Do you think there's any way of transferring that knowledge or that understanding through, like I say, the catering truck turning up with the prepackaged in-flight meals? That's what I'm imagining anyway.
I mean, you could do it, but it would be in an abstract way. And you can't beat the hands-on experience of actually growing something, harvesting it, and then processing it in the kitchen, you know? I had some of my kids come over on Friday because they picked a whole lot of veggies, and they said they felt sorry for me because I was stuck in the office that day and couldn't get out to the garden. So they bought me some snow peas and some silver beet. You know, that's such a powerful thing. And when you're trying to influence, you know, healthy eating and a healthier lifestyle, it has to be a journey that you make alongside our whānau, right? It's not something you can impose. And so for our children, right from 5 years old, they're actually learning this. They're trying veggies that they've never tried before. They're learning that veggies can be grown. They don't just magically appear, you know.
Yeah, there's something.
In the supermarket. And so, you know, so if we want to have that bigger, more sustainable impact on health in Aotearoa, this is what it takes. You know, you have to change people's relationship with food. You have to provide children with hands-on learning, you know, that is relevant to them. And it is highly relevant for them at our school because at the end of it, they get this yummy kai in front of them every lunchtime, right? So, and so a lot of the kind of abstract stuff, like even around climate action and that, we can hook it on those experiences. Because, you know, children, it's difficult for children to learn concepts that are abstract. You've got to try and make it real for them.
Yeah, I understand.
Through learning experiences. And we're really privileged to be able to do that with the internal model of the lunches program. So it's the stuff that makes me feel really sad and concerned, because that's the stuff at risk of going, because we're not going to be able to sustain this financially without the support of the government. So the cut is a big deal.
Surely you can make a very good case. Well, you have right now. I mean, it's no-brainer. It's common sense.
Well, it happened from the beginning of this year, you know, when the Associate Minister was talking of canning the entire program. We have been, our community have been very vocal about how important this is. But they're not listening. And the thing is, you know, they're ignoring a whole lot of advice from poverty groups, from health groups about how important that is. They're ignoring all of that in order to prioritise fiscal rationale. And that's a real concern. And that's why I say sometimes there are some things that just should not be touched. And the health of our kids, feeding our children, is one of those things that should not be on the chopping block, you know, for this government. But here we are.
Okay, in terms of government modelling for this, I know you probably haven't seen anything yet, but you would expect to see something.
I would. I think we all need to see it, because just saying that it's going to cost this, I mean, we all know what everything costs. We also know the hard work that those local providers have been, the work that they've been doing to provide for schools. So it just doesn't seem doable, but, you know, let's see the modelling and let's see. We won't know till next year when it's rolled out how this is going to work for the majority, how it's going to work for our kids with special diets.
That's the pudding, thing, isn't it? Yeah, the pudding. Special diets, you've mentioned that before, you just mentioned it now. How much of a consideration is that?
Well, we've got a significant number at our school. I can't give you the exact number, but it will be about 20 out of our 160 children with special diets, which is significant. We are already a nut-free school, but you've got your dairy allergies, you've got your gluten allergies, and then you've got some other interesting things in between. And so it's something that our kitchen chef has to work really hard to create meals that the kids recognise and enjoy, but that ticks all of those various boxes. So I can, you know, the model with Compass and Label, you know, these are big businesses that have obviously put out this offer, $3 per meal. But I really want to see how that's going to cater for our kids with special diets. Yeah.
What's that old saying? People knowing the cost of everything, but the value of nothing, or something, was some sort of saying. I'm wondering.
Something has to go. You know, these big companies, they've got to be making some money. They wouldn't be doing this if they're not getting something out of it. And I'd like to know what that is, because how do they keep it that low?
Well, distributed off over thousands and thousands of kids, right?
Yeah. But the disadvantage is that you lose all of that local business. Yeah. You know, so the smaller businesses have really lost out on this too, you know, which is a real shame, I think, especially in these times.
Yeah, well, that downstream effect is very positive. Here's a sensitive question. Obviously, David Seymour is a politician. He's thinking of how to get the best economy from centralising production, et cetera. But I don't think he has any children. Do you think he'd be thinking differently if he did?
Oh, look, I know lots of educators who don't have children and do an exceptional job. I don't think that's the criteria at all for being able to be a good politician or being
a
good...
Not deeply understanding what you've just laid out, which is very important. That's really what I was driving to.
Yeah, but you see, what people do when they haven't got personal experience, they talk to those that do. And I think that's the shame of David Seymour's approach, that he pushes an agenda that's obviously very important to him, but he doesn't talk to those with lived experiences. He doesn't talk to the principals like myself who are at the chalk face actually making this program work, but also making the program beneficial in other ways, you know, that will eventually make a difference in all the things that are important to him, like attendance, like achievement, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think I'm not going to get into the argument that because he doesn't have any children.
No, maybe that wasn't phrased very well. I was kind of indicating maybe a disconnect between real world experience and just, you know, running the numbers. In terms of an overarching concept, because this is quite polarizing, school lunches is something we should do. That's what you think,
So. Yes, I do. I think school lunches is absolutely something that must stay.
Right. And you need to be able to eke out $6.50 a meal rather than $3 to make it work. Is that what you said before?
To maintain the quality of what we're delivering now, yes.
Yeah, well, people get lost in that whole thing that it's the parents' responsibility. And I've had three children go through school. They're all grown up now. But it's the parents' responsibility and they've got to do it. But what if they're not doing it?
Exactly. And the children shouldn't be punished.
No,
the children
no way.
Should not be punished because their parents aren't. And, you know, some of the stuff that's impacting parents is also beyond their control.
Yeah.
You know, there's this kind of crazy narrative that because parents are not doing it, they don't care or they're useless yeah. parents.
Yeah.
You know, it's ignoring the, you know, the complexity of poverty. And here in a place like Wainuiomata, we see all of those challenges playing out in our community. And having people be really judgmental like that and having such a narrow view of what's a complex situation is not helpful. And the whole narrative also about somehow, you know, this is, you know, the cuts is because it's, you know, bringing in the taxpayer, that taxpayers should have accountability. You know, there should be accountability to the taxpayer by all of these funds. I think that narrative also isn't helpful because we used to be a country that cared about everybody doing well. And that's why we have a tax system to ensure that everybody has a good chance, you know, to reach their potential. And the lunches program, we are talking about the most vulnerable kids in our country, and ensuring that programs like the lunches program isn't used as a political football, but as something that is sustained regardless of the government of the day, is important. It makes a big difference for these children. And it's just sad for me that, you know, a lot of the narrative that I see in response to, you know, and we'll see it in response to this interview.
Yeah.
It's very sad. And I think unless you see it in reality, unless you come to a school and see what we're doing and see the community that we're serving, you will change your mind about your views. That's what I think. You will definitely have an experience and you'll change your view. Because we are about lifting people. We're not, it's not a handout. It's about lifting people and providing the opportunity for them to also reach their potential. Because schools are not equal. They're not equal. It is not an even playing field. We don't all start with the same experiences or the same support. And we need to understand that and get that.
Okay. Interesting. Getting it from a chalk face. Thank you so much, Tute Mila, Principal of Arakura School, Wainuiomata, Lower Hutt. Thanks for coming on.
No worries. Thank you very much.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.